Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting to the world. Broadcasting to the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul from BlakeRadio.com.
Welcome to Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley on the Blake Radio Network. On each and every show, Doc takes you inside the world of sports to hear from the movers, shakers, and decision makers. Now, I know you thought there were seven wonders of the universe, where here's the eighth, Doc Stanley.
Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Souls Channel. What's the end of the show? It's a Sunday. It is Dr. King Sunday. It is his birthday, January 15th, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. I Have a Dream. The Lord John Coltrane opens up, and we thank you for our dreams that have come true. We thank you for being our brother. Thank you. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and although you may not be everybody's God, but you're God all by yourself, we thank you for the little things that we so largely take for granted. More importantly, Lord, we ask that your will and your way be foremost in our life. And we cherish the memory of the great Dr. King. And this is the birthday of the Congo forthcoming 17th, Muhammad Ali. In the name of your darling son, Jesus. Amen. Doc Stanley, Sports and Depth on the Blake. Get another with Rainbow Souls of the Channel. Sports and Depth is the show. And the posse should be coming in shortly. As you know, today is January 15th, which is the birthday of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Also, the birthday of the oldest man ever to win a world boxing championship, B-Hop out of Philadelphia, Bernard, the executioner. Hopkins, and as the day continues on, tomorrow will be the day that everybody will be off. Dr. King, you know, there's a lot unknown. Hal Jackson was the man who sparked and started the whole setup of to push toward the toward King Day, and Stevie Wonder came out with "Happy Birthday to You." You know, there are still, sadly, I believe some states that still don't recognize King Day and its full at all, and it's sad. You know, We salute other days, but not that of an African American. I remember when Dr. King died. I'll never forget that. It was some grandpa from North Dakota. A guy who was from Texas. A guy came into the area. They just killed Dr. King. And the ensuing week, there was a show. Gregory Peck, the great Gregory Peck, was given an award, a humanitarian award. And he said, you know, he says, I sit here accepting this award, and yet we've lost a true humanitarian. Dr. King, during the course of the show, I will recite some of his quotations, the one that I so redundantly shout here. And I remember King Day in 2004, as I was working with legendary Gloria Gaynor and working with her husband, the incomparable Linda Maxwell Simon. We were in Atlanta. On King Day, and during the course of the game, the Hawks were playing the Indiana Pacers, and my good buddy Kenny Anderson had just gotten traded to them, and my good friend Reggie Miller came out. We were talking, and they kept flashing quotations of King during the course of the show, and one that I remembered that just stuck out right away was Life's most persistent, most urgent question is, what are you doing for others? And that just stuck out in my mind. I had remembered previously, and I remember some facts from later on, other quotations, but that one just stuck out. Life's most persistent, the most urgent question is, what are you doing for others? If we remember Dr. King, his birthday is today, January 15th. The author's birthday of one of the accomplished and one of the outstanding champions of our time and in boxing, the oldest man to ever win a heavyweight champion, the oldest man ever to win a world championship, Bernard Hopkins, for his birthday. There's anybody in that building. The name was, what was it called, a cha-cha. I remember jumping up to ring the bell, and now see a beautiful young lady, and her birthday is today. So, Dr. King, Bernard Hopkins, and Cha-Cha, happy birthday to you. And anybody else's birthday is, the posse is starting to gather. I see them coming across the
Hopalong Cassidy is here.
They are here, yeah. And, ladies and gentlemen, we open up remembering Manitarian, remember the pioneer. I remember Dr. King, a lot of people don't know, he started college at age 15. And he originally was, his name was Michael. His father changed their name, Michael, to Martin Luther. Attended the college at 15 years old in Boston at that. We knew he was the spearhead behind the bus boycott, Rosa Parks. People understand the aftermath of Rosa Parks. I mean, Parks lost her job, her husband lost her job. And what was not so redundantly mentioned was that, you know, the seat that Parks was asked to give up was not only a seat in the black section of the bus, but in the back of the bus. But the rest is history. Dr. King, another quotation of his, and great, but I remember telling that once to Randy Johnson, the last left-handed pitcher, and probably, unquestionably, probably the last pitcher in the history of baseball to win two games. The ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands in times of comfort and convenience, but where he stands in times of trial and controversy. And that's what we redundantly think about Ali when I think about that particular quotation. We're all here, Dusty, Lady A, the Sea Wings, Hoops of Jones is with us down the line, too. Mel Cosell, are you here, Mel Cosell?
We are indeed here, good doctor. We are indeed here.
Mel Cosell, I want to kick with you. Big football game today. You know, the Packers, the Giants. I think if people remember the last time the Giants won the Super Bowl, they went to Green Bay. How do you see this game today, Mel?
I'm liking this game today, Doc. I'm actually in great anticipation, only because I want to see how the offensive line Green Bay holds up against that hellish pass rush of the Giants' defensive line. I want to see if they'll be able to provide protection for their QB with the likes of a Pierre Paul, Canty, Umanuka, and Tuck with their ears back, coming full speed up. That's going to be an interesting physical chess match that I'm anxious to see. And also I want to see in the reverse, Docker and panel, what their defense looks like against Eli and New York offense, because you can throw in their quarters, you can make big plays, and there will be plays made on both sides of the ball. So I'm interested to see, Doc, if this turns into a bona fide shootout, if you will.
You know what the amazing thing here, Fox Family Sports and Death on the Blake Rainbow Soldier Channel, Sports and Death of the Show, it's happy birthday to Muhammad Ali and remembering Dr. King. And live again from Fortaleza, Brazil. I think right now that the New York Giants are the only football team in the playoffs that are balanced on both sides of the ball. That game yesterday, New Orleans and San Francisco, I mean, I looked at New Orleans, they needed a touchdown, they got the touchdown, they needed a two-point conversion, they got the two-point conversion. I mean, there were just, 30-something points is not any show of defense. I'm also, Sea Wings, are you here?
See, Ween, just here. Good evening. Good afternoon to everyone.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon, See, Ween. Hey, Merrill.
Good afternoon,
sorry. You mentioned something about the defense of the Giants. I label them the four horsemen of the apocalypse because, believe you me, these are the dudes who did in Tom Brady, who hopefully, we were hopeful that they'll do in Aaron Rodgers. These guys are on fire, and they will take no prisoners. We'll
but
see. What I mentioned to you before was the fact that this is Aaron Rodgers. This is not Brett Favre. That's years ago. So we'll see what happens. Yeah, lady, how you doing, baby?
Hey, no, I was going to say, I thought you said it was Victor Cruz running like a purse snatcher.
I still got my purse snatcher, my ghetto purse snatcher on the side. He's going to score some
points. Let's back up here. Now what's the insinuation here is not Brett Favre, it's Aaron Rodgers. Are we talking about, are we playing against a superior quarterback now as opposed to when we played against Brett Favre?
Right. In physical condition, age-wise, injury, lack of injury, we're playing against a younger, tougher, uninjured Aaron Rodgers, who has a lot of speed, a lot of evasive moves, as opposed to Brett Favre, who was injured, went on a disabled list, who was battered, and he was already ready to quit. That was his last game. That was the last game. He retired after that.
But still, at that time, he was still seen as Brett Favre. At that time, if you remember, they had taken the lead. I just feel right now that the Giants are the best all-around football team playing. I'm coming at you because I don't see all this raving over this big win that New England had yesterday against Denver. First of all, I still say this: New England Patriots have never been the same team since. I got to shout it back again. Somebody's got to drop it for me. They've never been the same team since Moss left, which means they haven't been a super team since Moss left. And then the thing with Tebow, and I want to say this here, Doc Stanley Sports Network on the Blake with the Network Rainbow Solar Channel, Sports Network for the show. I did a tweet here. This guy, it's amazing in this country. This guy professed a dedication, a love, a gratitude to God. This is where all the bullshit came in. All of a sudden he was scrutinized. Here's a country based on God. People came here for religious freedom. This man put God first. He was ostracized. Yep. He was criticized. And yet in this country, if he was a Muslim, a Hindu, a Buddha, a Dalai Lama, his exploits would have been praised. You took a deep insight. You look at the Zen master. And this guy gave praise to the one and only true God. And this is one of the big reasons why he was ostracized. This was America, a country, a Christian, was ostracized. Now,
exactly.
From the football standpoint of view, the guy kept winning every week. I know who don't like it. He beat the Steelers. And I don't see
he beat the crap out of Steelers. Surely did. He's a quarterback.
But Doc. See, I agree with you, Doc.
Can I just say something, Doc?
It is a very bad shame that in this nation where we worship God, a man who does worship God, even though publicly he kneels, he prays, he's ostracized, for God's sake.
But Doc, here's another point, just to piggyback on what Dusty's saying. Meanwhile, you got guys that shoot themselves in the leg, are straight up perps. Okay, commit felony crimes, okay,
exactly.
And we accept them like it's no big deal. I just think it's a joke. It really is. It's a joke.
Absolutely. You're right, lady. You're on target.
But
the question is, how do you make sense out of nonsense?
Yeah.
Good point. You're
right.
You pray in public, our Jewish Christian brothers who have their holidays and days off. Here's a man who just said, I'm thanking God, not to mention his team was winning, And, you know, it just ostracized, the criticized.
Yeah. How about, Doc, how about the fact that he takes, he had six kids that were disabled and had, like, all kinds of freaking issues, okay, on the sideline watching a game with him.
Right.
Okay, how about that?
Yeah. Nobody says anything. Yeah.
Nobody says anything about that. How about the fact, I've never seen any of these guys do anything like that. All right.
Absolutely.
Well, I mean, again, we're talking about a situation that had he been a Hindu, had he been a Dalai Lama, had he been a Muslim, had he been a Zen master, they'd have told you about it. But hey, you know, like I said, God's not everybody's God. There's only one true God. Doc Stanley, Sports and Death on the Blake, but an epic Rainbow Soul Channel, Sports and Death for the show. You're here. Lady A is healthy again. We're saying happy birthday, Muhammad Ali.
Yeah, Lady A. Welcome back to good health.
Yeah.
What's that?
Hoopster is here. G-Wings is here. The Hoopster is still a little upset by that loss.
No, unfortunately, I'm good. Good.
Dusty is here too. But
yeah, we'll take it on the Jets next year. We'll take it on the Jets. You hear me, Lady A?
Yeah, I hear you, but listen, speaking of that, I'm just happy. I read the paper yesterday. Tim Smith, the only brother, thank you, that says some of the Daily News about what's going on in the locker room, okay?
Yeah.
And the only one that even said anything, not that we're going into box or anything, but George Willis actually stepped up and said something about the Mayweather. So I just want to say many props to Tim Smith and George Willis. Many props to them for actually bringing up good points this weekend in the newspaper.
Exactly.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, hey, let's go back. Now, Tim Smith, what did Tim Smith say that caught your attention?
Who's finally saying something about Sanchez and what's going on in the locker room. And you know, the fact that a lot of guys are not happy with what's going on.
And
one of them even mentioned, okay, anonymously, somebody said, okay, I could understand people are like, oh, yeah, you put your name behind, you know, your comments. But anonymously, people are saying, no, you know, he played like he didn't really care because it's like they know they're not going to take him out. So, you know,
yeah,
I mean.
They call him lazy. Wasn't it? They call him
lazy.
Lazy.
Yeah, lazy.
Yes,
uh-huh.
Lazy.
Lady A, go back. Could you say that one more time? He plays like what?
Yeah. Like he doesn't really care because they're not going to take him out of the game.
Right.
I'm coming back at you. And Dusty, you've heard it. Mel Cosell, you've heard it. Hoopslip. And C-Wings, I've told. Now, we're going to come to you, C-Wings. Now, I've said that. I could not understand why they were willing to lose football games to let this guy play as opposed to trying to win games. Now, C-Wings, I want you to comment on that because, I mean, you're in the locker room, you're close with the coach. Also, after you move there, I want to talk about what's all this raving about New England beating Denver in New England. I mean, what's all the big, all of a sudden, the hatred?
I mean,
you look at it. I have to give it up to New England. I watched the game yesterday. I mean, they just looked regenerated. The defense were all over Tebow and the offense, and I covered the game with the Jets versus the Denver Broncos. They have a tough defense, and their offense is not that bad either. Even with Tebow, the way that he throws, his completion rate, I mean, they played nearly flawless yesterday. And I can see them taking the AFC. I mean, you had, even though they hired the offensive coordinator, old offensive coordinator McDaniels from Denver, I really don't think that might have had too much a bearing on the game. I mean, you look at Brady, he helps develop these wide receivers. Gronkowski, a few years back, he wasn't that good.
Now,
Brady, he's a leader on the team. He helps develop these players under the tutelage of the coach. But you can look on the field. Brady, he's a leader out there. He takes control of the situation. And, I mean, you look at yesterday in the last half of the game, what was it, 3 or 4 minutes, when he punted the ball for 40 yards? some quarterbacks in the NFL can't even throw that far. I mean, they have just too many weapons. I see them taking the AFC from the Baltimore, who will be visiting them next week.
Right,
but they put on an astounding performance yesterday. I have to give it up.
So C-Wings.
You also notice that Brady is like a coach because you see him on the sidelines talking to the ball players. Those who may have screwed up a play or something, he goes after them and talks to them like a godfather. I mean, Belichick doesn't even have to be in the freaking game. It's all the Brady show.
All right, so you guys are saying that basically he quarterbacks like Mark Sanchez?
No. We needed a joke. That was a good one.
I have to say that Joe Namath, when I heard him on the ESPN Michael Kay show, he brought up a good point. I mean, there are a lot of reports that, you know, there's an anonymous source. He brought up a point. How do we know if someone even said that?
Exactly.
We don't even know that. I mean, I have to look at his point as well. We don't know if anyone actually said that.
Okay,
there
but whether they said it or not, but see, whether they said it or not, it's true.
I've seen Sanchez in practice. He's not lazy. He's not lazy. I mean, the kid, he's struggling. I mean, he had a good team. He had a lot of weapons, Jay Cott. He had, Damian Woody, these guys that can help open a hole for the run game. They had Sean Ellis on defense. So this is not the team it was the first two seasons.
You're right.
Well,
they missed that veteran leadership.
Yeah. Right. Well, him to put up.
They missed that veteran leadership.
Hold on. Back up. No, had made a tremendous point here. And we're quick to jump on this kid. Now, I'm just saying the kid ain't Joe Namath. But I'm saying what you have to say is that this team did play in the championship game the last 2 years. That has to count for something, okay? And they won playoff games the last 2 years. Nobody's talking about New England, who's won their first playoff game in 3 years. So, and C-Win said something here, gang. No, let's listen to our expert here. The Jets lost people who were critical to their defense and offense, and it shows. And they have to be some merit to that. I mean,
absolutely.
It shows. I mean, 2 years in a row, we were one game away from the NFL championship going to Super Bowl. So, I mean, this boy ain't Joe Woods. He ain't one moon. But, I mean, he's been through a tough year. I mean, my only problem with the situation is that, and it's not his problem, I mean, you know, hey, Stanley, shoot the ball. Don't worry about rebounding. The system has dictated certain things to him that's advantageous for him. My problem with the system is get us a backup quarterback. If he's not having a good game, take him out the game. But
exactly.
On the other hand, because it seems like you were there. You were there last year, and I never forget Lee Taylor, who came from Miami, his name is Chase. And I'll never forget what he said. I mean, there was a mother motion, tears, and he said, this team will never be together again. He talked about the core of that team. He talked about the heart of that team. He talked about the soul of that team, the unity of that team. That was a hell of a football team. Okay, he didn't have that same team coming back. And say what you want about New England. New England has never been the same team since they lost Mark. There's certain players. So, I mean, we can joke about them. My problem with the Jets is they have gotten nobody to nurture this young man, and they let him play, win, lose, or draw. And you said something, C-Wings, at the Baltimore game. You know, when they ran roughside over him, this young man was running for his life. A lot of times, his life was on the line.
Exactly.
His life, Doc Stanley, Sports Network, the Blake with Rainbow Solar Channel, Sports Network Show. I got to give a plug into a couple of shots here. I'll give you a minute. We want to thank last night here at Fort the Laser, Wayne Vaughn, who wrote the song Let's Groove Tonight. He performed at the Club Mary with Mr. Brooks, backup singer for Gloria Gaynor, and my man Adam Falk, who plays with the legendary Billy Paul and international promoter, Desi Gosomasa Jr. They had the Friday and a Saturday show at Agua. And also, I'm going to have to make a plug. I did a little interview. I'll pull out a 7 minute and dedicate that show to that gentleman. Muhammad Ali at 70 on Tuesday. Today, Bernard Hopkins, Chacha, and the Immortal. Dr. Martin Luther King tomorrow, a guy that we all have admired and loves the beauty of his game. Roy Jones Jr. has a birthday tomorrow. And on the
17th,
the Roy, and on the 17th, besides Muhammad Ali, until his injury, his shoulder, I thought he was unquestionably the best welterweight in the world, Dusty. Buddy McGirt, James Buddy McGirt.
Yeah, Buddy McGirt, my man.
He was on the show, too. Yeah, I'm on the show, too. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he's on the show. Who's the basketball-wise? Let's go to you for a minute. And what's happening?
What's going on? What's up? Let me talk to you. Who's that for now?
What do you want to know?
What's happening? What's the latest gossip in the world of basketball? Has Kobe and the new coach finally gotten things together? Are the Knicks going to improve?
No. So far, we're going to wait till a couple more weeks for this guy to come back. So we're going to see with that. And Kobe Bryant, and, you know, he scored 40 points again last night. But
he's out of control. Out of control. He's been playing like a man possessed.
Well, you score 40 points, you don't win. That don't make no sense.
Yeah, but, you know.
So what, you score
hey, but you know what?
You can't stop. You got to stop the other guys, too.
But 40, but hoops of 40 points. I remember Julius Erving talking about something one time. And we were going to the AAIU game, and Julius was coaching. And a guy named Rich Rohr was the leading scorer in the AAIU, and having 30 points a game. I said, "Well, Doc, that's in the same, you know, boom boom end league." He said, "No, 30 points a game is 30 points a game anywhere. And you score 40 points, win, lose, or draw. Hey, I mean that's a hell of an effort. I mean, you know, 40 points. I mean." I mean, the idea is to win. I mean, I'm pretty sure he wouldn't mind scoring 19 or 20 to win. But, you know, 40 is 40. And Kobe has proven to be a truly great player. As we said, we added other 10 names to the first 50 years, the first top 60 players. Hoopsie, you still got that top 10 list for last year, won't you?
Sure I do.
Yeah, because Lady A didn't hear it last week. Hoopsie, so... why don't you give us your top 10 of 2011 one more time? And today we're dedicating the show to Muhammad Ali, who was a one-time Cassius Marcellus Clay. His birthday, unbelievable, 70 years old this Tuesday. The memory of late Dr. Martin Luther King, and the same birthday. Happy birthday to Bernard Hopkins today and the lovely Cha-Cha. Tomorrow, Roy Jones Jr. and Ali and Buddy McGirt together. And also, early part of this month, my daughter Turquoise. The 21st is my mother. The 24th, this Daniel baby, Lois. And the 31st, the first man, African-American, and the first full-blooded man in the history of UCLA, Jack Roosevelt Robinson. Hoops, one more time, the top 10 of 2011 in the world of basketball.
Okay, starting number 10, LeBron James returns to Cleveland. Number 9, Derrick Rose wins the MVP. Number 8, LeVar Anthony comes to the Knicks. And number 7, Dallas Mavericks wins the title. Number 6, then the Hornets been bought by the NBA. At number 5, Phil Jackson retires. At number 4, Shaquille O'Neal retires. At number 3, the Clippers land Chris Paul. At number 2, David Stern closed the deal for CP3. And number 1 is the lockout. It's the lockout.
Five, the lockout. Doc Stanley, Sports Up on the Blake Critter Network Rainbow Show, the channel Sports Up, the show live from Brazil. Saluting the memory of the late Dr. Martin Luther King. Another quotation: forgiveness is not an occasional act, but a permanent state of mind. I want to take a salute to this week. Earlier, I was on the Must TV radio reading here in Brazil. My man, Willie Hayter. Now, I may pronounce it wrong. I want to dedicate the show to him. Thank you so much. And one of the things he had me talk about was MMA. We talked some about Joe Frazier. So I want to mention that during the course of the show. And now, Seawings, Giants, Green Bay, Giants, what happens here? I mean, I think that the situation is great for them. They're going to Green Bay. They come off a big win at home. I think it is really they're in a better situation when you have that home victory behind you, and you're going away because now I think you're more focused, us against the world. I think they had a better shot of beating, and not only that, I mean, this is the second time they're playing Green Bay, so now they got a chance to break even. Green Bay beat them at home. Can the Giants win this game? Will the Giants win this game, Steven?
Well, as we know on this NFL today, you tend to have teams that didn't have such a stellar record making it into the postseason, as you can see, for the most part. But the Giants, it's not what have you done a month or two ago. Is how hot are you and when did you get hot?
Right.
And I think that's where the Giants have the advantage. They got hot at the right time. They're healthy at the right time.
Yep.
They have that confidence, that pass rush. I mean, if they can put that on Aaron Rodgers, because he's going to be looking to come out, him and the Green Bay Packers, to set this game off fast, score high. But if they can put that pressure on him and sack him, loss of yardage and the pass protection, protection in the secondary on the Giants, which we know is pretty good. The Giants' secondary is pretty good. Pretty good. It's not the same as 2007, but the way that they played last year, I think the Giants could eke this out, 28-24.
Didn't the Giants sack Rodgers five times the last time, was it?
Yes.
They hit him, I think it was about three or four. They should have won that game. That was a bad call on that touchdown pass. So actually, they really should have won.
Right.
They really should have won that game. That was a bad call. And there was talk about the officiating crew. They like to throw a lot of flags.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
This officiating crew. So,
they showed the picture how the referees cheated the Giants. It was a bad, lousy call. But practically, it was the same thing that when the Giants were playing the Jets and they accused Plexico of pass interference offense, when all he did was stiff arm the defender, which was done today in a lot of games, and they called it a pass interference.
Oh, absolutely. They can pull it out
today. That's not halftime, Shimon. Let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back here on the Blake Radio Network. Doc Finney Spitzer on the Blake Radio Network.
All day, all night, all the time. BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul.
Broadcasting to the world. Broadcasting to the world. To the world. To the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul from BlakeRadio.com.
Doc Sam, Sports in Depth on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul Channel, Sports in Depth of the show, live from Puerto Laser, 250 miles away from the equator. And Puerto Laser is capital of the state of CR. And in the background, we'll be hearing music from that great soundtrack we had. Okay, so the Ravens will be going to New England, and if the Green Bay wins, Frisco comes to Green Bay, and if the Giants win, Giants go to Frisco. I see both games, very winnable for the Giants. The Giants have played both the teams already. They lost both the teams that they thought they could have and should have won. I see the Giants as a sleeper, and I see the possibility of us again having everybody stay healthy. They play the right kind of football. And I don't see the Ravens have a problem beating New England. I could see us having a Super Bowl again. You know, the Ravens-Giants Super Bowl 3 weeks.
I'm here, Doc. What was that? I'm sorry.
Yeah, I said, I hope you wasn't talking to Dusty while I was talking to you.
No, I was talking to my mule.
The Giants can win, and they're a great road team. They can win today in Green Bay. They can go to Frisco and win. These two teams that they played before, they lost games, which is that they short, like they thought they could have and should have won. I think the Ravens can have no problem beating Brady and them in New England. There is a possibility, I think. And I want you to come in and milk a show with dovetail and nothing with boxing, just maybe eight basketball hoops. There could be the possibility of a Baltimore Ravens, New York Giants Super Bowl all over again.
Yep. There's a possibility, but I really think if the Pats continue to play like they did yesterday.
Yes.
And they treated Tebow like a slab of boar's head ham. They sliced and diced him.
Yeah,
first of all,
Tebow, his team, there's Ray Lewis, great defensive team. Tebow was a very good player. People say all year long that, he was lucky he wasn't that good. Larry Harris, he said that New England does get better as the year progresses. Why are we evaluating the greatness and this sort of rise to superiority over a game against the Denver Broncos? What did you see that
you should
be aware of?
Offensively, they New England always plays well for the most part. We've seen them stumble in the last, couple of years. But yesterday, the problem is that defense is ridiculous now. They got hot. They got hot fast at the right time. And they didn't even look like the New England that started out the season. Their defense is,
they peaked.
I'm telling you this. I predict this. I really think that the New England Patriots are going to go to the Super Bowl. I saw a difference in them yesterday. I saw things that I've never saw them play. Yesterday was probably the best game that they played under the tutelage of Tom Brady. I've never seen it in the precision. His accuracy was something that I've never seen before.
Exactly.
I was in awe. I watched that game with my mouth open the whole time. And the Denver Broncos have an excellent offensive line. I saw that when they played the Jets. Not because they played the Jets. Just look at the other teams they played. They sliced and diced the Pittsburgh, best defense in the league.
Exactly.
Team here, this and I tell you, if the Giants happen to win today, they're going to have problems with the 49ers. Yesterday, the 49ers a disagreement from probably the whole panel, but they're probably the best team overall left in the championship. Complete team. The best.
They don't turn the ball over.
When they get the running game going.
They gave up 30-something points yesterday. They gave up 30-something points yesterday. They were lucky to win the game. Drew Brees was doing like a breeze.
But that's the expected from
that was
Brees.
That was through a lot of it was missed tackles.
Missed tackles.
There was some mismatched coverages. That guy. I can't think of his name now. He's a wide receiver or tight end on the Saints. That guy's like 6'11". Graham.
Graham.
That guy is a monster. You need two or three guys to bring him down. He's like Randy Moss. He's tough.
he's tough to cover. He has the height. Right. He has the reach. But this guy is a mud. It's like Andre the Giant out there, but muscularized. he's huge.
By the way, they recruited Andre to try to play pro football at 7'5 and about 460 at the time, but they had to take a pay cut, so they decided against it.
You kidding me? Andre the Giant probably tore six guys at one time.
Lydia, the Washington Redskins actually worked him out.
Really?
Wow.
Indeed.
Wow. Really?
He probably tossed about six or seven guys at one time to try to tackle him.
It'd
be like a steel cage match.
The 49ers, it was a shootout. I mean, you get two teams like Green Bay and the Saints when they played. I mean, they put up ridiculous numbers on both sides.
I'm going to tell you guys what teams I would like to see in the Super Bowl, but probably, and I think, I mean, we're talking about quarterbacks. I would love to see Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady go at it. Those two guys. I would love to see that in the Super Bowl.
That's a good match. That's a popular
that's a
game
match,
in football. Yeah.
Yeah,
that
I'm
would
scared
be
of the 49ers. I'm scared of the 49ers
I think right now, okay, now, Dan Moody, Doc Stanley Sports Network on the Blake with the Network Rainbow, so the channel Sports Network is a show live from Porto Alegre, Brazil, Saturday from Nuts, will be the last show that I return back here. Must TV Radio, Wednesday, my man again, Wildly Haler, who had me on his show, we dedicated this show to him, and this was saying also on the show, happy birthday to Muhammad Ali, he's turned 70, Dr. King.
My favorite athlete of all time, by the way, doctor, thank you.
Okay, so I mean, service to others is to pay for your room on earth. If a man hasn't found something to die for, life isn't worth living at all. Another quote from Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. Okay, now we got to go to the sweet science. Birdo and Ortiz again, Lady A, and you talked about George Willis. Willis is saying, well, I know Willis is on the same page. I mean, I got an email from Dusty that I thought his wife must have sent me instead, but he's kind of agreeing that it's obvious that Bob Arum does not want to. I mean, what kind of line is that, Dusty? That Pacquiao is going to fight everybody but Mayweather so he can heal?
Is that a question to me or is it to Dusty? No.
Dusty, you just started. I mean, he got four guys he can fight so he can heal.
Mel and I were talking about it this afternoon. Bob Arum left for the Philippines last Sunday after he saw his beloved Giants beat the Atlanta Falcons. He had a shopping list of four fighters, one from column A, one from column B. They were Lamont Peterson, Tim Bradley, a fourth with Marquez, and Miguel Cotto. And a fifth supernumerary would have been Mayweather. That's what he was doing. He doesn't want Pacquiao to fight in May because he came up with the excuse. Now, listen to this, folks. Hold on to your hat. That Pacquiao still has not healed from the bruises he received in the Marquez fight. That, to me, is a ploy, and I think it's because there is a stadium. I told Mel this afternoon that they're building in Las Vegas with a 45,000 capacity, and I think Bob Arum is holding out for that in June. Now, Mayweather cannot go past May because he has to go to jail. And the judge gave him a reprieve because he had signed the contract for May 5th. And that's why he tweeted Pacquiao and told him, okay, punk, I'm ready to beat your blank, 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 blank in May 5th. Come and show me, and let's fight on May 5th. I'm ready for you. Pacquiao says, I want the fight. Mayweather says, I want the fight. But Bob Arum says, oh, he's not healed. We have to wait. And then plus the fact you're going to shortchange yourself out of money because there's a 45,000 capacity state. And that's nonsense, Doc, because you and I know that the bet partners in business are Jerry Jones, Dallas, Texas, and Bob Arum. Dallas, Texas has 150,000 capacity plus standing room only.
And that's also where he fought Joshua Clardy.
Right, and when he fought Joshua Clardy, that was 50,000 plus 700 people. And when he fought Margarito, less 41,000 people. So what are you telling me? 45,000 capacity new stadium is going to make a difference? That's nonsense.
I got to say.
And now this is the tickler. The ESPN Latino or Deportes interview Miguel Cotto. He says, I'll fight anybody, but I want to fight Pacquiao. And they says, well, what about your contract with Bob Arum? He says, I haven't signed it. I from now on am a free agent. I said, whoa. He hasn't signed the contract. So he's good to negotiate with Anthony La Hoya for Mayweather. And that'll be a good fight May 5th. But the fact of the matter is that Bob Arum is coming up to answer your question in its entirety, Doc. Bob Arum is coming up with these excuses that Pacquiao's not ready. He's injured. Pacquiao is telling Mayweather, look, I'm ready to fight you May 5th, but this is one thing that you're going to have to do on your own. You better find yourself a promoter who's going to pay you what you're asking for, because I'm going to tell you something, my friend. My promoter gave me all the money that I want. So now you scrounge for your promoter. Wow, this is like a soap opera as the world turns. This is as the boxing ring turns. I mean,
wow,
nobody has been able to nail down this fight.
Yeah, exactly.
And so we don't know.
You're okay. Your thoughts on, because, Dusty, you must be a little mad at Top Rank, because I know you're on that PR staff. Used to divulge that it shows this is a new Lady A, Ortiz and Berto again, and your reflections and thoughts. I mean, I concur that this is a fight that Aaron doesn't want to make. Somewhere along the line, though, Pacquiao should stand up. Okay, let's go back to George Willis. What did Willis say? And you take it from there.
I mean, he was just pretty much talking about the difficulties that, you know, have been surrounding trying to make this fight between Mayweather and Pacquiao. And I just, you know, we've all sat down and discussed some of the things going on with Bob Arum. I think, you know, the reality is I think Harold said it a few shows ago, which is that, you know, another interesting point to look at is that, you know, when Pacquiao walks down the street, he's the only real guy that Arum has that people could turn around and say, outside of Cotto in New York City, be like, oh, yeah, you know, that's his fighter. You know, so I think that's another angle you got to look at also. I mean, he's his cash cow. So if that fight happens, what else is there for Pacquiao? Nothing.
Exactly.
I think that he wants to make it, if it is something that he's seriously thinking about pegging down, it's going to be a fight that he thinks he's going to make the most money out of. And milk it to get as much out of it as he can. And I think that's the angle that people have to stop and look at.
The fight is going to make the most money is him and Mayweather.
No, I understand that. I'm not saying – I think you misunderstood what I'm trying to say.
Another thing here is, I mean, looking back – he almost lost the market. I never forget Joe Fred. Joe turned down $4 million to fight Ali again and took $800,000 and fought – George Foreman never saw the heavyweight champion of the world again. A guy goes into Rahway State Prison and fights James Scott. I mean, Mike Rosman takes a tune-up with Yaki Lopez before he fights the unified title with Maxed Muhammad. Yaki Lopez, I mean, you can't take those chances. I mean, and if you know you're going to win, so why don't you beat him and keep going? I mean, I think it's becoming obvious. The excuses are no longer valid. Willis is concurring what we're saying. And, you know, let's quit talking about what you're doing. Because as I told you the other day, I was on the show here on the Must TV, and this is one of the reasons why MMA is so playing over boxing, because not only are the entertaining matches, even though Joe didn't like them, but it's the best fighting the best. You know, when's the last time we had the best fighting the best? Back in the day when Dusty told when you had Hearns and Hagler and Duran and Wilfred Benitez and Harold Weber, Ali Frazier, Ali Norton, Ali Foreman, Holmes Weaver. I mean, Duran, Pop. I mean, you don't have that anymore. Bob is constantly talking about that. And the big thing, and you was there, Dusty, and you were there, Dusty, when he said Mayweather doesn't want to lose. Well, let's take it's Pacquiao. And Arum doesn't want to lose. Somewhere along the line, Pac has to say, hey, Bob, I got this. Let's do this. And
well,
Lady A, you're not doing it.
Doc, I think that's what he's saying now, whether we realize it or not. He's saying, okay, we'll get it all, but I got my promoter who gave me what I want. I'm ready to fight you May 5th. You get your promoter to give you the purse. Pacquiao's in the lead. It's not Bob Arum. And then Bob Arum has not signed Miguel Cotto, so where is he? He's in limbo, man. Somebody, the writing is on the wall that this guy is losing control of his two cash cows, which is Miguel Cotto, who's hot.
Well, that's
now.
What I'm saying. Well, Dusty, yeah. That's exactly what I'm saying. What I'm saying is like he's gonna try to milk what he can from this guy last minute. He's not gonna go and fill like some cheesy arena like Madison Square Garden that's not gonna have as many bodies as a football stadium. I mean,
exactly,
you got a
exactly.
football stadium.
Cheesy arena is like Madison Square. Oh my
I'm sorry, I'm sorry, but I'm not impressed. I'm not impressed.
Lady
Listen,
a
Dusty couldn't
correct.
Even get his Dusty couldn't even get his ass out of that chair. I'm not impressed.
Lady A, you remember when we covered the
Lady,
he's
talking about his ass or his ass. He's talking about.
That was funny. Thank you, Lady A.
You're welcome. I'm just saying I'm not impressed with that arena. I'm not impressed
yeah.
with it.
Exactly.
I wasn't and impressed with it's cheesy.
But not for me, it was. When we covered that Marquez Pacquiao press conference, he had announced that he was looking to Pacquiao was looking to retire soon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He was saying he was looking to hang it up soon. So we posed a question to him: is he waiting for that big
fight? C-Wings. Two things here. Where are you going to make that count? Larry Holmes told me something I'll never forget. You know what I mean? It's amazing how these guys, I usually hear these baseball players, I want to spend more time with my family. Like, what kind of yang are you running? You're making $15, $20 million a year. Okay,
yeah.
The kids don't get out of school till June. Okay, you got your
right.
own home here and there. But you know what? Then stop playing baseball. I want to spend time with the family. Larry Holmes said it's hard to stop doing the
exactly.
best thing you do in life, and people are going to pay. Pacquiao ain't no rocket scientist.
Nope.
He ain't no teacher. What do these guys fall back on? No, cut the yang. You either want to fight Mayweather or you don't. That's why you're not
making a point on it. I don't think he does. Make a point, please. Now, let me make a point, gentlemen and lady, okay? The fact of the matter is that these two guys are going to make this fight, or somebody's going to be wind up getting knocked off by a lesser entity, and they're going to blow
that. But it almost happened, Mel.
That's
Mel, it almost
one,
happened.
Okay?
Look at the Marquez fight. Why do you think Mayweather's grabbing him now? Come on, stop.
I said this very thing on this very show and station
a
year ago, okay?
Too,
these guys are going to yin-yang and yang-ying. And somebody's going to get knocked off on the way to the big fight
but
that's Mosley never going to happen,
it,
right?
Mosley said it at the press conference. Mosley said it at the press conference with Pacquiao this past year. He said, what's going to happen is somebody's going to expose Pacquiao, and then Mayweather's going to fight him. And that's exactly what's happening now.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. But you see, the cog in the wheel panel, my brothers and sisters, the cog in the wheel is the fact that Bob Arum keeps putting his left foot, his right foot, his elbow, his hands into the pot. He's coming up with these excuses. We got a new stadium in Las Vegas. And then he knows full well that he can go to his boy, Jerry Jones, and say, look, 150,000 capacity, let's have it here. And he doesn't want to. Why? He doesn't want to lose his cash cow because, let me tell you, I still stand by what I told you, Doc, Mayweather will beat Pacquiao. Hands down, and
I
now
agree
and
with
the
Dusty.
Way he's looking, he's gonna get whipped. And once he and
okay,
once
okay,
Pacquiao
okay,
loses,
hold on.
Once Pacquiao loses
okay.
to Mayweather,
Dusty,
Pacquiao will retire.
Sir, hold on. You just said that Mayweather will hands down. You're not the real Dusty. Could you hang up and let Dusty call in, please? Okay, for the real Dusty.
What do you mean,
sir?
I've been telling you that for years. Yes,
right, Dusty. You have been consistent with that from the beginning, that he would, and my thing, but then if that's, could this be?
Doc, can I interject real quick on the Jets, Giants Green Bay game? Giants up 3-0, and they just got the ball. It looks on the 20 yard line on a kickoff return, fumble by Cobb
on the Green Bay Packers. So it's a first and 10. Looks like on the 20-yard line. The Giants are deep in the Green Bay. Basically, they're near the goal. So.
Yo, did you see that guy just lost his shoe? He lost his shoe.
Yeah.
They just threw the challenge flag, so. But Eli Manning,
they're going to beat Green Bay. They're going to go to San Francisco. They're going to beat San Francisco and play whomever in the Super Bowl. They're peaking
it's
going to
be New England.
Right.
No,
it's
going to be overturned. Scott Manning is going to beat him. See, I want you to keep it posted on what's happening. We're near about, I think what we're going to, hey, lady, hey, did you try to get a hold of Howard Weston for us?
No, I couldn't get through.
Oh, you couldn't get him? Or you did try to get him?
No, I couldn't get him. No, I couldn't get him.
Okay. I want you maybe to break out the pack.
But wait, I
want to
just say one thing, Doc. Can I just say one thing, Doc? I don't know if Dusty and Mel caught this. I happen to catch this off of YouTube. Stephen A. Smith said that Mayweather's the greatest guy boxer now on the planet. On the planet, I was like, on the planet? He said it was the greatest boxer on the planet. Now, I don't want to stir controversy, but we all know, according to Doc Stanley's way of thinking, that would be Roberto Duran. But, you know, Doc believes Roberto Duran was one of the greatest.
Lady A, when I heard Stephen A. Smith say that, I vomited all over my freaking rug, and I had to get a vacuum cleaner. That's nonsense.
Hold on. Listen, let's cut the game. First of all, things here. Mayweather is the best fighter on the planet now. Okay,
he's the greatest
fighter of all time, in my money. Okay, heavyweight Ali, because Ali fought everybody. Okay, Ray
Robinson. So you're trying to say Jack Johnson was not the greatest guy on the planet, the greatest fox on the planet?
This is what I'm trying to say.
You can't do that. When you say that, you lock yourself in because they've been. First of all, you got to look at weight classes. You got to look at different weight classes. Secondly, it's not a. You can't say that.
You want a heavyweight champion of the world. If you took.
Okay, now look what you're saying. Listen to what you're saying. You say heavyweight.
Hold on. Listen. The thing that made Ali the greatest. Okay, first of all. The thing that made Ali the greatest is the thing that made Jim Brown the greatest. These guys were Mack trucks with the speed, the mobility of a horse. When Ali knocked out Bob Foster and the late, great Bill Shannon went into the dressing room, and Foster had been knocked out, and he told Foster, he said, look, you're trying to clear your head. He said, no, I'm not trying to clear my head. Okay, and understand you do Ali trilogies, 1, 2, and 3. This was the second Ali. As Marion Burke said, Marion B. Burke and Black Foundation is a brother. He said, there are welterweights whose hands are not as fast as this guy. The thing that, and the people, and Harold said this, other people, but the thing about the great, and Ray Robinson is supposed to be the greatest ever. But it's a known fact that Ray didn't fight everybody. Ali fought everybody. Now, the Rand, for my money, is the greatest non-heavyweight ever. Okay, Harold can say what he wants about Tommy. You know, the Rand catch Tommy in the right night, Tommy sayonara. You take Tommy 4 or 5 rounds, as vicious as Tommy was, so was Durant. You went in there with no sandwich with Durant. I mean, Tommy, great. But here's the thing about Tommy. Tommy lost to Ray Leonard. And if he went 15 rounds the second time, Ray was going to knock him out again. The Rand beat Ray Leonard the first time, who's arguably the second greatest welterweight ever. He beat Ray Leonard coming up 2 weight classes and passed his prime. At 135, the Rand was the greatest lightweight ever lived. Gang, we're gonna break from here, and then we're gonna do Sports and Death with the mic on and lights out because the fans just love it that way. So don't nobody move. Larry Hardy's gonna say something for us, and then we'll be right back. Larry. Come on, you can go down if you want to. Larry Hardy, please. And that's going to spoil the play with Rainbow Souls. That's for the show. We're going to simply do what you all like from us. What's in depth with the mic on, lights out, as this is my last show coming from Fortaleza, Brazil. The panel's here. The crew is all here. So
your last show, you mean you, Larry,
No, it's just that I'm still waiting for you to send me that money you owe me.
Oh.
Oh, the rent money. The rent money. Okay, sorry. I'll send you your dollar tomorrow, man. But look, I ain't sending you no rent money because I checked with UPS and FedEx, and you haven't sent me my rubber-sized girl from Ipanema. So I ain't going to send you no money.
It's coming. It's coming.
It's coming.
It's coming, gang. It's coming. And here we go.
This concludes another edition of Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley. We thank you for listening and encouraging you to tell a friend about Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley. You can hear that and many other great programs on the Blake Radio Network. Have a great day. Welcome to Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley on the Blake Radio Network. On each and every show, Doc takes you inside the world of sports to hear from the movers, shakers, and decision makers. I know you thought there were seven wonders of the universe, where here's the eighth, Doc Stanley.
Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soda Channel, Sports in Depth, the show, Sports in Depth, mic on, lights off, half hour, and we are concluding, as I thought we should, rightfully so, with the last show being from Fort Laser, Brazil. C-Wings, I want you to keep us, not only you, professional, on what's happening with the Giant game. I want to go back to this boxing thing, but what I want everybody to do, with Lady A starting it off, thoughts on Dr. King and thoughts on Muhammad Ali. Ali will have his 70th birthday. Prepare the Lord. We thank you. Little things is the largest thing. Event. Thank you for Dr. King being in our life. Thank you for Muhammad Ali being in our life. Thank you for my panel who is in my life. Thank you for being our God, your son, our Savior. And give us not what we want, but what we need. And just thank you, the Lord, for blessings unseen, unmerited, and definitely unwanted. In his name, the Lord, amen. Lady A, I want you to start it off, and then I want everybody to follow. Lady A, and then with the Sea Wings, Mel Cosell, and Dusty. Lady A, first of all, your thoughts and reflections on Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and then follow that with thoughts, reflections on the one former Cassius Marcellus Clay, now the incomparable Muhammad Ali.
All my thoughts on King was that he was a pioneer, and he, you know, I think that sometimes as people, we need somebody to set the trend for us. And I think, like, you know, when it came to civil rights movement, he's the one that was there to step up when everybody else wasn't able to do what they had to do. So, I mean, I definitely believe that Martin Luther King was one of those pioneers that we need to kind of venerate and hold on to his beliefs and have the same kind of spirit that he had, which was, you know, step up for those things that you really believe in, because it had not been for him, we wouldn't be where we are today. My comments on Muhammad Ali, you know, once again, I believe that he was the kind of guy, and still is, like, I think as far as boxing goes, I think we don't have a lot of guys like him that kind of able to step out of that whole thing that comes with getting to where you get to as a champion and, you know, reaching out to the general public. And I believe that he has that charisma. He made boxing really what it is today, even though it's transcended into something that some of us really think should be a little different. I just think that the way that he was as an athlete, most people in general and in all sports should kind of hold on to his values, his principles, you know, what he believed in as an athlete. That's pretty much what I got to say about Ali. I mean, that's what comes into my mind when I think about Ali as a person.
Well, he transcended boxing, Lady A, as far as I'm concerned with Ali. He transcended boxing. He just became like a part. He wasn't just a fighter or an athlete, okay? Ali became part of Americana, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Part of Americana, but actually part of the entire globe. The most known man in the world, and that's because he's a professional athlete. His stances on the war.
Mm-hmm.
How they took his three prime years as a fighter. You know, people have to understand, okay, that when you are especially the heavyweight,
you know, they're here today and like gone tomorrow. They go very quickly. Their time is lapses very quickly, all right? They took his most productive years, his three most productive years, and they took it away from him. Like Fox says, you have to take Ali and the trilogy, okay? The first Ali, before they took those 3 years, when he had his legs, as we call it, man, it was incredible. Guy's sitting in his backside. When he came back, he had to fight because his legs were gone, and he was still great. So that shows you what kind of an athlete and fighter that he is. Secondly, the man stood for something. His stance on the Vietnam War and a whole bunch of other things, okay? So, you know, they have a whole lot of athletes these days, all right? And, you know, they're like, hey, look, I'm going to make my money, keep my mouth shut, get into nothing controversial, okay? So whether you like Ali or not, the man stood for something. And what he said, when they had told him that he was facing 5 years and I believe $100,000 fine, for refusing to be inducted into the military, he said, hey, I'm willing to die for my beliefs, do what you must. So that tells you something about him right there.
Yep, just like that's what I was trying to say. When you look at him and you look at King, they both stood for something, you know, for what they believed in, which is something that is difficult, but yet not too many people do.
And you know that you asked for Dr. King.
If a man doesn't stand for something, he'll fall for anything.
And as you know, as for Dr. King and Lady A, you know, he could have made a very, very comfortable living.
Yeah, I got it.
Just doing his sermons and passing the plate around every Sunday. Could have made a fabulous living. Like Doc said, the man was in college in his teens, okay? And I don't mean 17 or 18 either, okay? The man was brilliant. He could have been a doctor, a lawyer, had incredible grades. Could have made a very comfortable living without all the controversy, all right? But he chose to put himself out there for the very reasons that we all know about. So like I said, you know, these people should be praised and never forgotten. Because they really did not have to put themselves out there the way they did.
And also with Dr. King, as a human being, he not only fought for civil rights, he fought for social issues, as poverty, political issues such as the Vietnam War. He was very strong in his character. He had the leadership abilities that I think could only be given by God himself to lead that many people. I mean, hundreds of thousands of people, black, white, women, children, men of all races that fought for just the minute or what we take for granted these days, the right to pull that lever or press the button to vote, the right for a fair contract for the garbage workers, the bus boycott, the right for men to earn a decent wage in life, you know, for the American Negro and other minorities to enjoy the same freedoms that were written into our constitutions and Bill of Rights. I mean, and at the same time, keep a household and family and a wife such as Coretta Scott King to keep his family intact while he was fighting for hundreds of thousands and millions of families out here in what we call America. So, I mean, just in that alone shows the veracity of his character, and I mean, I thank God that it helped me today. I mean, to be able to vote, to hold the position that I hold in life and the career that I chose. I mean, I just have to thank God for him and the countless men and women who fought for those rights. And for, you know, Muhammad Ali, I mean, he went through back then what sort of like what Tebow is going through today for praising his God. I mean, when he undertook the religion of the Muslim religion, he took a lot of flack for that. When he spoke out against the Vietnam War, even though that he was stripped of his title, of his means to, provide for himself and his family, he stood in the way. Yeah, he stood strong, and I mean that says a lot for his character.
When you talk about his conviction, and that was the thing I talked about it last week. You know, Jim Brown, Lou Alcindor, Bobby Mitchell, they brought Ali in. Jim Brown had got this economic
Go.
And And he said, Dusty, okay, I need you, I can't have that on the air, okay? Okay, and
sorry.
Yeah, okay.
Touchdown, New York Giants, Doc. Touchdown, New York Giants.
New York Giants.
Okay,
thank
once
you.
Once again, Dan, football will be told to me only by C-Wing. Nobody else. C-Wing can't work. That's the way we work. Okay, now back to Ali. His conviction was so sincere, so in-depth, that Jim Brown said, with us trying to sway him to go into the military, had he continued talking to us, he would have converted us. So, C-Wing, go ahead. Dovetail, once again, talk about, like you said, his conviction and his sincerity and his belief in his religion.
I mean, he stood by that. I mean, he passionately believed. He really spoke the speech of many hundreds of thousands of Americans, the student, the young population, which were revolting in large numbers, which mirrored that of the civil rights movement against a war that our country had engaged in that started out as a so-called peacekeeping mission that cost hundreds of thousands of innocent American lives. I mean, he basically was a spokesman for those people. And he stood by it. He stood by it through thick and thin. So I really admire him for that as well. And he changed the sport of boxing. He paved the way for the Pacquiao's, had the Camacho's, all the boxers that followed after him. I mean, he really set the stage for them to do what they do and to get the glory that they did.
And it's because of him, see, that guys are making the money they make now. Everybody made more money with Ali. Everybody. Everybody
Absolutely.
That fought him, and he made everybody more money, all right? I was watching something on a Chuck Webb the other day, the original Rocky, if you will. Most money he ever made, most publicity he ever got, due to Ali.
Absolutely.
The man made everybody more money. He's basically a cash cow in itself. I would hope that other athletes would kind of stand for something a little more than most of them do now. Everybody's worried about their all their AIDS commercials and this and that, and the sponsors don't like this and that. I would find that if someone has somebody throw caution into the wind and give an opinion about something that matters.
I must say that our most distinguished host and orator, Doc Stanley, I mean, I remember me and him were going to cover a road game. I believe it was in Pittsburgh, the AFC Championship game. And I heard a show that he did with Joe Bragg on, I believe it was BLS or Kiss FM. And it was a particular point that Doc was there. They played a part of his commentary from that fight, and I must say that I felt like I was there. Even though I wasn't born when that fight happened, Doc's commentary made it feel like that fight happened that day, like I was there. I mean, Doc did a excellent bang-up job, I tell you. I mean, I must say that Doc is the man. He is the man.
Hey, there'll never be another like him, see? There'll never be another. You know, Doc is very modest in his own right, but as I always say, he's the straw that stirs the drink. I with all of us, you know, Doc has seen, you know, Diamond saw me as kind of a diamond in the rough, and basically opened so many doors for me in this sports and, you know, media business, and I could never, ever thank him, you know, enough for taking a chance on me and, you know, kind of recognizing that I might have a smidgen of talent and doing his best to bring it out. You know, it's because of M. Lady A that I kind of adopted this motto. But I really believe it now, and I try to live by it. What are you doing for others?
Mm-hmm.
You people like astonish me. You know, it's just amazing. I was just doing something right now, and I thank you for the accolades. All good and wonderful things come from God. And that's what God about. So you people have no, and you people listening, Doc Stanley Sports Depth on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soda Channel Sports Depth for the show. Our memorial to Dr. King, birthday salutations to Muhammad Ali. Last show here live from Cincinnati, Brazil, until another couple of months. You people have no really idea or concept of the adulation, the respect that y'all have meant to me. I mean, you know, I was just sitting here doing something, and there was just so much pride and joy and vanity into y'all. I mean, you know, Dusty, the bookworm, the guy who reads everything from the cover of descriptions to World Magazine, Charles himself, you know, Lil Coco, Leonard Howard with his night. Even, you know, what you and Lady A have brought to the table, and also to the hoops to hear. But, I mean, you know, gang, you know, it's only what you do for Christ. Thanks for that, but, you know, to all this, I am somebody, and this panel is beyond comprehension. It's just a labor of love to be here every Sunday. And it's a conscious education today, once again, heard it here first, never heard it before. Andre the Giant had a tryout with the Washington Redskins. The Washington Redskins were the last team in pro football to get a black player. And, you know, it's just amazing stuff, gang. And anything I do from a positive standpoint of view is just through the good Lord. And like I said, you know, you guys, Marion Brooks has got to be part of this. Larry Hardison, you got to be part of this. Al Jackson, Carlos Jr. Real quick reflection. I mean, I got a chance to see Dr. King, you know, as a youth. He visited our church, you know. I've got a chance to meet and spend some time with Ali, as well as Jesse Owens and Joe Lewis. Just blessings. So we just want to take time. Luke, continue. I'm sorry I cut you off, but, you know, just a man. To all the, what's that great line by Walt Whitman? I know God deserves my enemies, but I doubt if I deserve my panel. That was a great deal, boy. Who's next?
Doc, if I may interject real quick, the Giants just caused a fumble. They have the ball first and 10. And they're driving the ball again. They just stripped the ball from Jennings. And it was recovered by the Giants.
They're taking it to
them. Okay, now we're going to the 07. 07 on the team. Grant from the Giants just stripped the ball in his first and 10. So if the Giants keep this up, it's early in the game. We know that Aaron Rodgers, he's a very good quarterback and accurate. But if you keep the pressure on him, you can't go anywhere. So I'm sure the Giants still go.
See, Wayne, look at his face. Look at Coughlin's face. Yo, you think it's cold out there? Look at his face.
I think the game time temperature is 22 degrees.
Oh my God.
The minus wind chill is probably in the single digits.
Look at his face.
Lady A, I predicted on the show a couple of weeks ago that Green Bay would not repeat. So I'm going to repeat this again. The Giants will beat Green Bay today. They will go to San Francisco and beat San Francisco, and they will be in the Super Bowl.
You heard it here first. Speaking of sports, Mel Kelsey on Sports and Death on the Blake.
All right, Doc, you're killing me. Hey, but by the way, Doc, who was the first one to start singing the praises of the great JPP, Jason Pierre-Paul?
Hey, a point well taken, Lenny. A point well taken.
Thank you, Doctor. Thank you.
Now,
as a rookie, I just saw this guy is going to be just a monster.
Well, listen, he made all pro off the Dallas game alone. Of the Dallas game. Now, who's next talking about King and Ali? Lady A went, Ceiling you went, right? Rooney, you went. Hoopsa, your thoughts.
Dusty didn't go yet.
Did Hoopsa go?
No, not yet.
Hoopsa didn't go yet.
You go. go, and then Dusty go, because I know Dusty's got a synopsis there. Go ahead, Dusty.
Well, you know I gotta mention you on the show first. By the time you take me to the boxing, to meet all the boxers, then also Doc did a show on Dwight Gooden on ESPN. That was amazing. How he covered Dwight Gooden. That was a lot of work. That's why I know Doc was on his game. And I thought ESPN should at least give him a contract on that, because that was a lot of work to cover Dwight Gooden for 2 hours. He did a hell of a job. Hell of a job.
Good job.
And yeah, also,
but who's your thoughts on Dr. King and Muhammad Ali?
Martin Luther King was a great leader. He was there for peace. He also was a civil rights prize winner. He also believed in protests and everything, in the bus. And he could have been president. He would have been president. But you know that didn't happen. I guess they were scared of him. He didn't take no nonsense. So after hanging out with the Kennedys, they were scared of him. You didn't see that many black people hanging with the Kennedys. As you know, Kennedys like black people. So Martin Luther King was a civil rights leader and a great leader. And also Muhammad Ali, he's the greatest boxer ever lived. Also for 6'3", he was fast, quick. Never sat on a stool. Stand up for 15 rounds. Never sat on a stool. Always standing up. So that's all I can say. Ali was the greatest fighter.
You know, before T jumps in, I just wanted to say this, Doc, in battle. You know, Doc, I remember you doing an awesome special on the life and times of Muhammad Ali with the legendary broadcast and announcer Bob Slade. Another station of which I don't know if I should mention the call letters, but the legendary Bob Slade of Open Line and Week of Review of Fame. I know he's doing an awesome documentary.
Well,
I'm
sorry,
Doc.
That was one of those things that we were doing a documentary. Thanks, Doc. And it's supposed to have been me and some other people. It's like that great line that John Condon, they told John Condon, look, we want you to broadcast the game today. The guy that's going to be doing the game, he'll be here in a little while. Condon was looking over his shoulder for 40 years, and it turned out that I happened to be the only one, and it was just once again a great blessing. I remember Marion Boykin called me the next day, and Boykin said, "The Doc, you were never greater than what you were last night." It was a great salute, and it was one of the greatest athletes of our time. I think the greatest fighter of all time, and I think one thing that sets Ali for everybody else, that Ali fought the very best, and he beat the very best. He beat Joe Frazier 2 times. He beat Tony. He beat Melvin twice. He beat Ernie Terrell. You know what I mean? He beat Sonny Liston. And, you know, he beat Zorro Foley. I mean, he beat the best of all time. And one of the best of all time here, Dusty, thoughts and reflections. Dr. King, who we...
All right. Before I go into that, man, the referees are making some bad calls on the Giants. They're calling down by contact, and they caught two fumbles. And now the freaking guy, the Green Bay, are down the track. They made a lousy calls on these guys. All right, they're in cheesehead country. That's all right. Okay, but now let me get back to. First of all, Martin Luther King was peaceful resistance despite all the atrocities and the banging and being thrown in jail. I mean, the man, he knew what he was up against, you know, and finally we realized what he was up against when he was assassinated off his balcony. And that took a lot of courage knowing what he was into. He was thrown in jail how many times, you know, for peaceful resistance and trying to change the pattern of racism and integration, you know, and he's a great man, you know. I feel that he knew, or he had a sense of foreboding when he made that speech in the Washington Monument. And I've been to the mountaintop, and I may not be there with you. And that was scary. I heard it, I saw it live, and I'm saying, wow, what is he telling us?
Dusty, let me say something. And Hal Jackson's book. And how, to go what you're saying, and we keep agreeing. I'm coming back to the country with you. Hal Jackson said, who was very close to King, said he was with Dr. King in New York, and Dr. King, you know, Dr. King was kind of observing everything. And he said, you know, Martin, is everything okay? He says, nah. He said, I'm all right. He said, but I'm just looking around. He said, because I'm not going to be coming this way again. Dusty, like you said, he knew. He knew.
He knew.
You know, that says something. That says something about the strength of the power that God has, and how He sends people visions sometimes to prepare you for what's coming. And I think that that's a very powerful thing you're mentioning right now, that He knew that something was coming, and that has to be because probably, you know, God sent him something in a vision or spoke to him and let him know this was coming to pass. And was preparing him for this coming to pass.
Exactly.
And he said four or five times that he knew when Dusty said, and you know, he said three or four times in that incredible speech that he knew. When he said, I may not get here with you. When he said, right now, I'm not fearing any man about anything.
Right.
And you know, when he said, like anybody, I'd like to live a long life. Longevity has its place. The man knew that his time was very, very short. He had seen it. He had knew it. And he was basically saying, hey, I'm here now. I don't have much time. But, hey, this is what I have to say. Think of me. I may not get to see it with you, but, hey, I hope to build.
Right. And you know, the thing, too,
that... There's a great line that Dr. King has, too. Dr. King said, it's not the longevity of one's life, but the quality of one's life. Dr. Stanley Sports Death on the Blake Radio Network Rainbow Show, the channel. Sports Death is still live from Puerto Rico, Brazil. The channel is able to do it now. His reflections and thoughts on Dr. King and Muhammad Ali as we dedicate this show to the memory of Dr. King and say happy birthday to Cassius Marcellus Clay. My name ain't Clay anymore. My name ain't Cassius anymore. My name is Muhammad Ali. And we say happy birthday
to
Ali. Let's continue, baby.
Yeah, and basically what I'm angry of is the treachery of Abernathy. Of Abernathy, who was a right-hand man who he trusted with his life. Despite that garbage book on Martin Luther King, and to label him a freaking womanizer. He had a woman in every hotel he was in. He really wasn't the pioneer or the suffragette that people believed in him. How dare Abernathy do some garbage like that? And that's exactly what the other side, the opposition side, wanted to hear, that he was a phony.
Yeah, but Dusty, you got to think about it. You got to think about that too, man. You got to, not to cut you off, but I mean, they did the same thing to Jesus Christ. Judas did the same thing to him. So
yeah, but still in all.
But you have to also look. He was under it. That was perpetrated allegedly at the hands of J. Edgar Hoover, who allegedly kept a lot of so-called files on a lot of leaders, including presidents.
Yeah, right. Exactly, but. But he was a man who endured, despite all opposition. A man who went to jail, despite all, you know, and he set the pace to open the doors or knock the doors off the hinges for the things that we're enjoying today. And basically, that's what, you know, that's what he has to look up on. You know, there are people, there are few pioneers who risk life and death to achieve what we are enjoying today. And I'm gonna segue right into Barack Obama. I mean, this man achieved in his first try of presidency the highest office in the world, despite the fact that he had hit teams and assassination teams after him. Who knows if they're still planning something? And see the garbage that's opposing him. And like I said to you before, now every person of color who aspired to say, maybe one day I'd like to be president of the United States, well, boom, yes, this man knocked the hinges off the White House and he's in there. That means that my children's can't even aspire and think that there's a possibility. The same thing with Martin Luther King started with the voting rights and all the missions that he partook on his own. He could have stayed in his church and preached a Sunday's sermon every Sunday, but no, he says, no, this is not right. I'm not doing the right job. The right job is to expose what's happening to our people in those states and how they're being ostracized and how they're being battered. And this jackass, Eugene Bull O'Connor, would turn the police hoses, the fire hoses and the police dogs on the people. He exposed all of that. He degraded all of that. And this is what we owe him for being a pioneer who all lost his life for some lousy little ne'er-do-well because he what he stood for. In terms of Muhammad Ali, well, he was an innovator. He was a somebody that was new in the boxing game where you had the slow-plodding, overweight heavyweights, and he was a dancer and was able to create something new in boxing. And, of course, not believing in what was going on in the military, who of us who served in the military wanted to go to the military? I know I didn't. If it hadn't been for the draft, you would never see me volunteer. You know, really? I got drafted, man. But I was there. I did what I had to do under duress because of the fact that I was in the South, Columbus, Georgia, Fort Benning, the infantry capital of the world. I couldn't go across the street, the highway, to get myself a poor boy, which is a precursor to a cheeseburger and a beer, because even in uniform, I wasn't the right color. Wait a minute, what am I fighting for this country for when I cannot even avail myself of a cheeseburger? But that dilemma you had to deal with and endure and then wait till you get your discharge papers and get out and leave. You know, would I have been as successful as Muhammad Ali? You know, if I said I'm not going to step up and take an oath, I probably would still be in jail. I mean,
you've been a boxing historian, Dusty, Lady A, see everybody a doc. Don't you find it strange that damn near every heavyweight champion has had some type of trouble either with the government or some type of government? Back to the days of Jack Johnson when they used the Mann Act. So he supposedly took some white woman across state lines and married her or whatever he did. They used the Mann Act to take away his license and make him fight out the country to make a living, so he couldn't fight. Then it comes along, you got the great Joe Louis, who fought for free for the military, fought for the government, advertised for the government, did everything that he could to be as patriotic as a black man could be in this country. And what did they do? Not only did they have unmitigated gall to charge him for the money that he gave him, but basically ruined his life, making him fight to pay back taxes of the money that he willingly gave to the U.S. government.
But that's the way of the government. But you see, this is exactly what I'm saying. I'm explaining to you that here you're serving your country, but you ain't worth 10 cents, man. And that is sad. I was in the military when black soldiers were coming in and they were not allowed to be buried in all white cemeteries. They lost their lives fighting for the country. You couldn't go to the 8 o'clock mass, the 9 o'clock mass, and the 10 o'clock mass because that was an all-white mass. Are you kidding me? I mean, here you worship one God, and you couldn't go to those masses because separate churches. But you could stay in the 11 o'clock mass. That was the integrated mass. But there's a codicil. If you went in there and the 11 o'clock mass was filled of white people, you couldn't sit down. But you didn't have to leave. You could stand in the vestibule. And I said, are you for real? I'm not going to do this. That's the first.
Yeah, but you know what's
sad
about that? As many strides as we made, there's still places that are still like that.
Yeah.
But you still have segregated areas, and you still, you can't even go to a bank and get a loan in some of these places because they won't let you. I mean, come on. So what are we talking about? Things have changed, but there's still places where they act like it doesn't exist, but it still does.
Yeah, let me tell you another clinker, which is, I mean, controlled resistance. Rosa Parks, the 1955 bus boycott. Wow, they desegregated the buses and all that. No, they didn't. As a soldier in 58, I had to sit in the back of a trailway bus. A Greyhound bus. And if I resisted, I would have been thrown off the highway and I would have been arrested by state police for disturbing the peace. Hold on.
Jackie Robinson was court-martialed. You didn't hear me. Jackie Robinson got on a bus
and sat
in the section up front where the officers sit. The bus driver saw the lady he was talking to, who was a friend. And, you know, it always comes down to the same crap. Was a white lady. So he told Jackie that he had to get off the bus. Jackie said, I'm an officer, allowed to sit here. I'm not going anyplace. The bus driver went over to the police, told them Jackie was drunk and belligerent, and they made him move to They called Jackie. Due to the fact that Jackie was white, Jackie decided, he got out the military. We're telling the same kind of stories now that they're telling back in the day. Doc Stanley Sports Up with the Blake, where they never swing both shoulders till. Sports Up with the show is a memorial to Dr. King, a birthday greeting and tribute to Muhammad Ali, as we also have a birthday to Jackie Robinson, the 31st. His mother, Tina Law, the 24th. My mother, the 21st. My grandson, the 25th. My daughter, the 2nd. Bernard Hopkins today, along with Dr. King and Cha-Cha, and also tomorrow, Roy Jones Jr., followed by the 7th birthday on the 17th of Muhammad Ali and Buddy McGregor. Dusty, continue, please.
Yeah. So, basically, this is what guys, I should use that word, pioneers and crusaders like the Martin Luther Kings and Muhammad Ali in his way, helped us. And Obama helped us get to where we are today. And if you heard about this book that's being written by some author named Cantor, tearing up Michelle Obama as a black angry woman, and they're making so much, that it's the constant, the more you say. These pioneers made changes, the more, in a subtle, sneaky, treacherous way, things remain the same. They don't want you. We are paying rent in this country. We are tenants. We don't own anything. And that's basically what these pioneers like Ali and Martin Luther King exposed. But somehow or other, and of course, Barack Obama exposed. And the fact of the matter is that we still have a long freaking struggle. But they had the guts to be the front runners. They had the guts to go out there and break those fences and those shackles and to make us understand that we can follow in their footsteps and try to make changes. That's what I think and feel of them. That I like, quite honestly, Muhammad Ali's fighting style. I don't know. I like the fact that he attacked Joe Frazier. No, it bothered me. But the fact of the matter is that he stood up and said, no, I don't believe in this war. I'm not going to be used as a recruiting bait. And that's basically it. I risk going to prison 5 years and losing everything. And that's the chance I have to take to stand for my beliefs. Now, should I have gone to that lunch counter and beat the crap out of the clerk who refused to serve me? No, I wasn't going to do that because I would have wound up in jail because they tell you violate rules here. You wound up in jail. We will not get you a lawyer. You're going to have to call home to have them bail you out because you're languishing in jail. Meantime, you're AWOL from the military. Man. What a life, So now you know what I'm saying, that these guys are to be honored. These guys are to be praised because they highlighted a lot of things that perhaps we were too afraid to do or we didn't learn how to do them, but now we know. So basically this is what I have to say about them too.
Now, I was going to say, Doc, what a lot of folks were either too young to know or just didn't have all the inside scoop at the time. But, Doc, folks will forget that Ali was originally convicted. I mean, he was just facing a bona fide, as Dusty said, a bona fide 5 years and $100,000 fine. A lot of folks now that history has been, been some all these years, think that, Ali was, they just found in his favor from the jump and that was it. That's not the case. He had to appeal that damn case all the way up to the Supreme Court and get it overturned. He was sentenced to 5 years and had been convicted.
Yeah.
And sentenced to 5 years and $100,000 fine. This wasn't something where, hey, I fought the case and I was acquitted. No, he was convicted. 5 years, $100,000, lost a passport, can't travel, can't work, can't earn, can't do a damn thing, basically, until we appealed this all the way to the Supreme Court, and they overturned that ruling.
It's the hypocrisy of the democracy.
Very good.
Or, as Don Keynes elegantly says, only in America.
Only in America.
Well, there's a quick update
on the Giants
football game. There's a quick update.
Oh, what a war.
Doc, that bad call where it was actually and clearly a fumble.
Exactly.
The Green Bay Packers were allowed to continue their drive, and they tied it up with a touchdown. And now it looks like, well, when they kicked the ball off, they tried to kick off a quick onside kick, but that didn't work, and the Giants went, I think it was 3 and out, kicked it back. The Green Bay Packers, they were driving, just resulted in a kickoff, a punt, rather. It's going to be 1st and 10 on the Giants 20. So it's tied at 10-10.
Yeah, the Giants defense is holding up tremendously.
Absolutely.
Can there be something instead of a possibility? And you've talked about it today, Dusty. You talked about it before Rooney. And if we can cut off, that's good. The cut is here, but don't worry about it. But is there an anti-New York sentiment? I mean, the game against Green Bay, there was a horrible call.
Even before you finish the question, there is a mystique to give this glorified cheesehead, Aaron Rodgers, and the poor Green Bay, who all their only status in life is watching football, so when the season's over, I don't know what the heck they do, you know, to give him a second shot at a Super Bowl. But you know, that points to coercion, criminal behavior, or whatever, corruption of the freaking referees. I mean, the decision makers.
Hey Dusty, I'm sorry, but I have to ask, did you just say glorified cheesehead?
Yeah, exactly. Glorified cheeseheads. All they got to do is chase after the Green Bay Packers. They got nothing else to do. But now these super referees are making bonehead decisions, and you know, this is what the instant replay perhaps has to go into all sports, because these guys are making, they're ruining the game. They took away a fumble from the Giants, who they could have scored.
Hold on. The opinions of the Steno Baby Lords are solely his opinion, not that of the panel or the staff of Black Radio.
Yeah, well, if you give me, I'll be bleeped every 10 seconds. But the fact is that these guys, they seem to want to see Green Bay back in the soup. I mean, come on, call a fair play. Don't give me this garbage of the man was down, he picked up the fumble. No, it was down by contact. Down by what? He dropped the ball before he hit the. He brought the ball before he hit the ground, man. But yeah, right. You're right, Doc. To answer your question in its entirety, man, they're looking to go. Give Green Bay another shot at the soup. But
Before you give us another 5 or 6 disclaimers, which you probably wind up with this panel, I just wanted to say one more thing, and I excuse, you know, for cutting you off, folks. But I just had to say, Doc, between the last show and now, as I predicted and have been begging for about the last 2 years, the departure of the Jets' great offensive line, great offensive coordinator, the great Schottenheimer.
Oh, your hero.
Has happened. He's no longer with this organization.
Your hero's gone. I know you. I know you're crying. I know that.
Oh, tears are coming out of my eye. They're rolling down my cheeks, bud.
Who needs to follow him? Brunell, he needs to walk right out with him, because this guy,
you might as well bring back Terry Bradshaw. It's just exactly. Bringing back all these old guys. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, but now he has no value there but just to wear a uniform. I mean, he can do is hand off the ball. I mean, I think any one of us could do the same thing.
Absolutely.
I mean, you need a guy, just like D. Wood said, you need a guy in there that's a valuable backup that's going to push Sanchez. Like I said earlier, I think it was in one of our October shows, I said that maybe the Jets should go after Peyton Manning. I mean, he wouldn't be the future, but he can help with the future of the Jets by really mentoring Sanchez. I mean, the Jets, first of all, the ownership is going to have, Mr. Woody is going to have to sit down with the coach. He's going to have to sit down with Sanchez. And
absolutely.
The coach is really going to have to take over. He's really going to have to reel in that locker room.
Mm-hmm.
He said, Ryan already said he's going to eliminate those captain's positions. I mean, he's really going to have to. You know, look at Coughlin. They didn't like him when he first got there, but you're not there to be liked. You're there to lead and coach.
Yep. Exactly. And,
Because
I think they realize, they realize that giving Santonio Holmes the captain position was a big mistake. Look, am I identifying the correct guy? Was it Santonio Holmes?
I mean, he said some things, and he was right. I mean, we look back. The fault of the line wasn't so much of them not trying, but as Feelings has said, it's been their inability. I mean, we just didn't have the same football team. And now I don't see why you would eliminate the captains. I mean, hell, you picked the captains, so you know why are you eliminating the captains? I mean, I think these guys did a good job. It's something that they've earned. Holmes has definitely earned it. He's been an outstanding player. He's a Super Bowl champion. I mean, uh-huh. The thought was that this Sanchez, for all that we knock him, he did take us to two back-to-back championship games. He's thrown the longest touchdown by a rookie in NFL history, 80 yards. So, I mean, here's the bottom line of this. You know, let's start pointing some fingers at the coaches, okay? Let's start pointing some fingers at the guys at the top. And, you know,
absolutely
Coach Ryan
right,
got to take the
weight. Coach
got to take the weight.
Absolutely right, Doc. This is my question for you.
Let's start talking about the guys at the top. If you're the CEO and you're making $18 million a year, hey, come on, man, you got to take some weight.
Well, let me ask you something, Doc, because this was a statement that Rex made shocked me at the press conference. It shocked me when I heard it when they gave the press conference, and I'm trying to get a little feedback. You told me, for a guy that's supposedly such a great players coach, what does he mean when he says, I lost the pulse of the team, I didn't have the pulse of the team? If you're supposed to be this great players coach, you're telling me that he doesn't have an open door policy?
I think what he did here, and we talked about that yesterday. I was talking to a gentleman from Texas yesterday. We talked about we're talking about Parcells. We talked about I think it was Belichick. We were talking about too. And what he did here, I just was saying something about him. He did take the risk. He did say it's my fault. He did say I lost. Just what I just said. He just answered by saying that. He took the pressure off his players, and he stood up and said, hey, man, you know, it's my fault. And you got to like that. He is the players love him. I mean, him and C-Wings inside. But Purcell was the same guy, too. Hey, man, get off my players. Hey, press, time is over. So he did say, I got to take some weight. He did say, I failed. He did say, I didn't make it. And you got to salute him for that. I mean,
controversy, Doc. He said that when the season was over, this jackass took the cry like a little freaking baby, and after all the damage was done, I take the heat. Get out of here. You take the heat during the season because you're screwing up the team. Come on, man.
You're not going to get any free cake with this attitude.
Man, look, you know, let me tell you something. I've been telling you that was the wrong coach from the very beginning. This dude was a blunderbuss who loved the mic, and there wasn't a press conference that he didn't enjoy. It was all about him. And now he cries like a little baby. Oh, I take the heat, and I'm sorry. After you damaged the quarterback, you damaged the team, you threw away the freaking shot at the Super Bowl with the Pittsburgh game? Come on, nonsense. The man should not be coached. He should have gone by the bye-bye with Schottenheimer. That's my opinion.
That's the understanding, Lois.
They seem like they need so much, Doc. They seem like they need so much during all season. I mean, they need to shore up that offensive line. They definitely need a tackle, a right tackle, of course. They have to shore up the offensive line. They need a damn running back. They need a damn pass rusher, somebody that can rush the quarterback and at least move him out of the damn spot before he starts combing his hair over there. I mean, they need so much to get back to where they were. I'm wondering if they can get it during the draft and during the offseason.
Yeah. C-Wings was absolutely correct when he said that the best New York Jet team was in the second year. Then Blunderbuss and Tannenbaum, the idiot, got rid of the key players. They had nobody left, man. And that would have been the year that they went to the soup. I mean, mismanagement, making wrong. Look, was it yesterday? I forgot what team it was that they scored a touchdown. And then the coach calls in for a two-point conversion. I said, you idiot. You don't do that. You get the extra point, which is guaranteed. He didn't make the two-point conversion, and they got whipped. I mean, come on, man. That's nonsense. Who are you going to blame, the ball players or that stupid coach who made that dumb play? I mean, you know, come on. Just be realistic.
Unless you're going for the win, I'm not a big fan of the two-point conversion. I'm really not. You're going for the win or the tie, I am not a big fan of the two-point conversion. I'm really not.
Exactly. And when I'm saying, why go to the two-point conversion, man? I mean, go for the guaranteed 1 point and then deal with it. Well, no. The two-point conversion, and they got murdered. That's stupidity, not on the ball players. It's stupidity on the stupid coach.
That's a late history.
No stone unturned. And we've got about a good few minutes. Lady A, in the background, I'm playing some music from my Brazilian soundtrack. As you know, Fox Stanley live from Fortaleza, which is the capital of the city of CI in Fortaleza, Brazil, 250 miles away from the equator, dedicating this show to a host of people. I want to thank once again Deirdre Cocomasso, Junior International Promoter, had a soul music show last night in Fortaleza, a tribute to Earthling and Fire and Fortaleza. Wayne Vaughn, who wrote the song Let's Do Tonight, performed along with Victor Brooks, who was the Packout singer for the only Grammy winner ever by disco artist Gloria Gaynor, and Adam Falk, piano player extraordinaire with the Billy Paul Band, was there at the show last night. They had another show with Vladimir Moringa. Also want to thank my man again from Must TV Radio, Wally Haida. We dedicate this show thanking him as being part of the sponsorship for this year. It's in memory of Dr. King and birthday to Muhammad Ali. And the background, some of the Brazilian soundtrack. And then we did Lady A, Ortiz, and Virgil again. Does Ortiz win this thing again? Or can we win it with a trilogy?
I think he could win again. I think he could, yeah. I mean, I think they went back and forth the first fight. So I think he has the capability of winning again, absolutely.
Oh, yeah, Lady A, I meant to ask you, I'm sorry, Doc. Did you know that Victor Ortiz went on trial for that headbutting?
What?
Yeah, his license was suspended temporarily. He had to get permission, a special pass to fight Berto.
Wow.
But it's still pending.
I didn't hear about that.
Yeah,
real quick, let me give you guys an update on the Giants game. The Green Bay just fumbled. Giants recovered. It's going to be first and 10. So it's right now it's at a standstill. 10 versus 10, and the Giants have the ball, and they're going to be driving in deep into Green Bay territory. So if it goes like this and the Giants, they haven't turned the ball over yet, so... Normally, when you have four more interceptions or turnovers, the percentage for the team to go on to win is about 30%. So if the Giants can get a score off of this turnover,
yeah.
I mean, really turn this game around. But like I said, there's a lot of football. Aaron Rodgers, Green Bay Packers, they're playing at home, which is advantageous. But it's only advantageous as you execute, and they're starting to fall apart there with these turnovers. So we'll
right.
see what happens.
I'll settle for a field goal, but we need a touchdown.
Who's the basketball-wise now? Dallas beat the two teams to beat out West or what? With jumping on his horse, Top Rope. End Zone is the one written by C-Wing TKO. And Lady A. Harold Weston, with unanimous decision. And Jesse, who's riding his mule, has his own special name. I still call it LG for the Latin Grammys. Tomorrow, at Lehman College, OJ. With some legendary hits, used to be My Girl. Give the people what they want. Money, money, money. Let me make love to you. Yeah, Epstein in the college tomorrow. Legendary OG, one of the great people out of Philly, one of the greatest people of all time. And so tomorrow, the King Day will be the featured act at Lehman College in the Bronx, New York City. I'm going to also take time out to talk to the band to put this all together. Our meeting, you know, Bill Blake and the first lady of radio, Nita Shula. My panel, you know them, Casino Baby Lois. Adrian Busser, Mel Kelsey, Evening, Cedric Raymond, Harold Weston Jr. not with us tonight. Also, Hoops with Coach Hart, legend, special people. You know, it's people like you who Dr. King would be proud of because you picked up the mantle. You solid that you see service to others as moves that be space on earth. Dr. King, you realize the life's most urgent question is, what are you doing for them? And you talked earlier, too, all of y'all did about it, as Dr. King said, it's not the longevity of one's life, but the quality of one's life. And truth, flush to the ground with the right hand. It's so special,
All right, I'm going to say goodnight to everybody because I got to be up in 3 hours to go to work, so.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody. And the Giants are 30 goals. Você, meu amigo de fé, meu irmão, camarada. Oh, that beautiful Portuguese music. Translate, Doc, translate. God bless everybody. See you next week. Hopefully the Giants will be in the championship game. They look like they're driving, so God bless.
Okay, and with that, we're going to close out this last show before the Ladies of Brazil. A unique show, as all shows are, with this crew that I have. It's the show that we dedicated to the memory of Dr. Martin Luther King. It's the show that we said happy birthday to Muhammad Ali. Also to Bernard Hopkins, to Cha-Cha, and also to Roy Jones Jr. tomorrow, and Ali and Buddy McGurry. Also to Justino. Wow, another birthday, the 24th of this month. Jackie Robinson, the 31st. My mother, next Saturday, the 21st. My grandson, the 25th. But more importantly, we say to you, we leave you with these thoughts. Live your life today, make a stand for God tomorrow. Life of the system, the most urgent question is, what are you doing for others? Service to others is the room you pay for your space on earth. Forgiveness is not an occasional act, but a permanent state of mind. The ultimate measure of a man is not when he stands in times of trial and controversy, but ways. Excuse me. I'm sorry, Dr. King. The ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands in times of comfort and convenience, but where he stands in times of trial and controversy. The great lies of my crew. I no doubt deserve my enemies, but I doubt if I deserve my crew. God bless you all. Trust in God. Dr. King.
This concludes another edition of Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley. We thank you for listening and encouraging you to tell a friend about Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley. You can hear that and many other great programs on the Blake Radio Network. Have a great day.
Good night. Take care. God bless everybody. We see you next week. We'll be counting our blessings.